The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The miracle of Purim and the Yeshua, what it achieved, the great Hatzolah, the great salvation for Klal Yisrael, was one of the greatest in our history, because the Tzora, the danger that Yisrael were in, was the greatest Tzora that was decreed upon them, a clear Gemara, a total destruction through the conspiracy of Haman and Achashverosh, of Lahashmid Laharig El Abed, to totally destroy all of the Jews, young and old, men and women, B'yei Mechor in one day, and this meant all of the Jews, because Ahasuerus reigned over the entire world. And the Gemara tells us that this was a greater danger and a greater Hatzolah, salvation, than even the Mitzrayim when we were enslaved in Egypt, because that was Me'abdus Lecherus, and this is Mimisa Lechayim. There it was a question of us being enslaved, and we were freed from slavery, while here was a question of death to the entire nation, and we were given life. And those who headed up this miracle were Mordechai and Esther. This evening, I would like to go into some of the particulars, some of the particular attributes of Esther Amalka, Esther the Queen. The Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Parshas Chayei Sora, Perek Nun Ches Oz Gimel, states on the Posuk, Vayu Yimei Chayei Sora, that Sora lived 120 and 7 years. Rabbi Kiva Hayeshi Vedeish Batsibur Misnanim Bikesh Le Eiraron. Rabbi Kiva was darshanin, he was giving a shir, and he saw that the tzibur, the people, were drifting off, so he wanted to awaken them. Omar, he said, Marosa Esther Shetimle Chalkuf Chov Zain Medina. He said, where did Esther get the ability, the power, to reign over 127 bedinais, 127 empires? Elotove Esther Shibas Bitu Shel Sora, Shechoy Sakuf Vechov Vezayin, Mitimleich Alkuf Vechov Vezayin Medinais. Esther was the descendant of Sora, Sora the matriarch, our mother. And Sora lived 127 years. It was from her that Esther gained the ability to reign over 127 Medinais states. Rabbi Kiva is telling us two great principles. Firstly, we should not take it lightly that Ahasuerus ruled 127 Medinais, and that Esther was to become his queen, because the Gemara tells us that there were only three. It's a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that only three ruled Bikipa, ruled the entire sphere of the world. And these three were Ahav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Ahasuerus. Tana Rabbanan, Shleisha Malku Bekipa. Three reigned over the entire sphere of the world. Ve'elohein Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh. The Gemara asks, what about Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon? All right, so the Gemara gives various answers as to why we are not calculating also Shlomo HaMelech. Tosfos asks, what about Alexander Mukdon, Alexander the Great? He gives an answer as to why we're not calculating him also. But there were only single people in the entire history of the world that merited one way or the other to rule over the entire world. And one was Achashverosh. And according to the Gemara, according to one opinion, he did so in a very easy fashion. Because it states, Mehodu v'yad Kush, he reigned from Hodu to Kush, from India to Africa. And the Gemara says, what does it mean to India and Africa? They are right close to each other. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, it says, just like he reigned over these two continents, which are comparatively easy to reign because of their proximity to each other, so did he reign over the entire world. And this is not something to be taken lightly, because the halacha is, when we meet any king, we have to make a bracha. Asher nosan michvede lebos v'dom. We acknowledge and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave from his honor to a flesh and blood. This is any king. So how much more so that when it's a king that reigns over the entire world? And to the contrary, it was because of this that Nebuchadnezzar became, Achashverosh became so arrogant and wanted to take on even the Almighty. And this we find also in Nebuchadnezzar, who was Melech Bovel, the Babylonian king. It was because of this that the Maral explains a Medrash that when Esther was in dire danger, here she was in the palace of the king, of this mighty king, and there was the decree on her nation of total destruction. And she prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save me min ha-kelev ha-rah hazeh, from this evil kelev, from this evil dog. And then, later on, she changed the tefillah. And she said, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu save me min ha-ari ha-ra-ze, from this evil lion. And she felt she had sinned, because this was not showing respect to the Malchus. So we are obligated to give honor to the Malchus. And she referred to him as a dog. So therefore she changed it to a lion. So therefore, if this was Achashverosh, his queen has to also have this ability, also be on this level to become a queen of the world. Actually, we see this also perhaps from Vashti. Vashti, who was his queen before, was the granddaughter, the Gemara tells us, of Nebuchadnezzar, who reigned in a similar fashion. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva is first saying that it is not so simple to gain this position. Or this is not merely a position that one would think when he learns the Book of Esther very superficially, that this is a position that someone can gain merely through a beauty contest. Now, to become the queen of Achashverosh, who for whatever reason had merited the singular quality to reign over the entire world, one of only three in the history of the world. So the queen also has to have such an ability. So the first thing, so therefore Rabbi Akiva is saying, this is something which is exceedingly great. Secondly, he wants to know, where did she get this ability from? This chus. That he tells us, that came from Sora Imenu. Esther that reigned over 120, who was a descendant of Sora Imenu, who lived 127 years, let her come and reign over 127 Medinas. And Rabbi Akiva is also in this vein telling us that Sora, therefore, certainly had this great skus, this great ability to be a queen of the world. Not only that, but she was the very source for her descendant Esther. We can give some thought now. Where do we see that Sora had this ability? Firstly, she was the wife of Avraham Zugosi. And Avraham was a king over the entire world. Like it states, his name was Avram. Avram had two meanings. Firstly, Avram means mighty father. It also means Avram, he was a father and king of Aram, of Aram Naray. This was the Medina, this was the state where Avram had come from. So even in his early years, he was considered a great prince. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and he said that your name shall not be Avram anymore, but your name shall be Avraham. You are no longer a father of merely Aram Narayim, but Av Hamayim Goyim. You will be a father to a multitude of nations. And Rashi writes there, Shenasa Av Lechol HaOlam. Avraham became a father to the entire world. So Avraham also had this malchus, this singular malchus. And when he came to the Bnei Ches, this is in Parshas Chayishora, to look for a burial place for his wife Sora, they called him the Sea Elohim. You are the prince of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this world. And in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, where there was the war between the five kings and the four kings, it states, Emek Shoveh, he Emek HaMelech. They came to a place called Emek Shoveh, which was called the Valley of the King. Rashi writes there, Emek Shohushvu Sham Kol HaUmais V'Himlichu Es Avraham L'Nesi Hashem Olakotzi. This was a valley where all of the nations came together, and they all agreed that they should make Avraham as the king over all. He was the Nesi Hashem, the king which represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was Avraham's role in the world. So therefore Sora had to be Kameso, had to be like him. But we see, aside from the fact that Sora was the wife of Avraham, even in her own skus, she had this great level. And she had to, otherwise she wouldn't be a roi, she wouldn't have been the right one for Avraham. Where do we see this? At the end of Parshas Nayach, it states that Horon was the father of Milcah, Avi Milcah, Avi Yisko. Yisko was referring to Sora. And Rashi explains Yisko Loshen Nesichus. Yisko comes from the word Nesichus, which means princess. And Sora also name was that. Sorai was her name, which means a queen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it. This is in Lech Lecha Yudzayin Tezvav, to Sora. And Rashi brings the Gemara in Baruchas Yud Gimel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Sorai is Sorai Liva Lachin, where she is a queen to me and not to others. Your name shall be not Sarai, but Sarah, Stam Shma, Shetei Sarah Lakol. Well, you will be a queen over all. And in general, we see that wherever Abraham took Sarah, she was abducted by the king. This happened by Parai. This happened by Abimelech. Now, this is not the way of kings, that whoever comes through their lands, they abduct them, of mighty kings. This could be the way at the grassroots, or perhaps a little higher, but not by the king. And we see it. Parai was a mighty king. He abducted her. Abimelech was a mighty king of the Plishtim. He abducted her. Now, why was that? They usually abduct the women that come through the lands. So Rashi tells us in Parshas Lech Lecho, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Tes Vav, it states, Vayar Esau Sarai Parai, that the princes of Parai, the nobility of Parai, his royalty, saw Sarah. What did they do? Halleluhu b'nehem, leimar hegonazu lamelech. They praised her, and they said, this one is fit for a king. That's why she ended up in the palace of the kings all of the time. So we find that Sarah herself was to the highest level of royalty possible. And it was this power that she imbued to Esther that was going to become also reach the highest level of royalty possible. With this, the Maral explains a Gemara in the Masechta Megillah and the Yud Gimel. It states in Megillas Esther, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayhi Omein Es Hadasa Hi Esther, that there was a man in Shushan Avira. His name was Mordechai. Mordechai. And Mordechai was Ishimini. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And he brought up Hadassah, he Esther, who was Esther. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, what was her name? Kori lo Hadassah and Kori lo Esther. Says he brought up Hadassah, he Esther. Was her name Hadassah? Was her name Esther? The Gemara gives various answers. There are very different opinions. Reb Nechemya Eimar, Reb Nechemya says, Hadassah Shmo, her real name was Hadassah. The Loma Nikreis Esther. Why did they call her Esther? Shohaya umay so olam korin eso al shum estaher. The nations of the world called her Esther. And because of the word istaher. Istaher, Rashi brings, is the Yerach, the Levona. They called her Esther because estaher meant the moon. Rashi explains, why should they call her the moon? Rashi says, Yofe kilavona, machmas yofyo, because of her beauty. The Maral adds to it. He says, no, it was not merely because of her beauty they called her the moon. They called her the moon because of her royalty. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two kings for the world. States that the Maaseh Bereishis at the creation, he made the Shnei Maoros HaGdolim, the two great lights that would reign over the world. And then, the Gemara tells us that there couldn't be two great lights that were both equal, because Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad, you can't have two kings. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the two great lights, but one should be like the king and one should be like the queen. One lememshelas hayom, one will rule over the day, and that's the shemesh, the sun, and the other lememshelas alayla will rule over the night, and that's the levona. And the shemesh is the king, that's the mora hagodol. And that represents, the king represents, is a zocher. He's the male. That's why the shemesh is loshen zocher. And the levona, the moon, is the queen. And the levona is loshen akeva, is written in feminine. And therefore, they could see this royalty in Esther. This was even before she was appointed as queen to Ahasuerus. So therefore, Umasa'elam, the nations of the world, would call her Esther because of the Levona, because they saw this queenship in her. Perhaps also that it states that the Levona was Lemshelis HaLaila, she would rule over the night. The whole Tzora of Purim, the Golus of Purim, was called Cheshech, darkness, because it was from the darkest times for Klal Yisrael. Fact is, the Gemara calls it a double Cheshech, Cheshech Lesei Cheshech, because there were double Tzoras. Firstly, we went into Golos Bobel. This was after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash by the Babylonians, and we were in their exile. And while we were in their exile, from there, the Babylonian nation fell to Porus and Modai, to the Persian Median Empire, and we ended up being subjects now to Ahasuerus. It was a double tzora. And on top of that, we had another double tzora. It was the conspiracy between Ahasuerus and Haman. So therefore, this was referred to as the greatest choshech, cheshech lesei cheshech. So perhaps this also is meant by that, that Esther was Deimer Lilavono, she was like the moon that would rule, Memshelis HaLaila, that would rule over the nighttime. She would be the queen, she would be the light for Klal Yisrael in their darkest times. Also in this Gemara, in this vein, the Gemara says something which is seemingly strange. There's another opinion as to why, as to what her name exactly was. Benazai Eimer, Benazai says, her name was Esther, but she was Learucha vele Ketzora Hoiso, Elabena Niska Hadaso. Why was she referred to as a Hadaso? Because she was not specially tall, and she was not specially short. She was medium height. And that's why she's referred to as a hadassah. The hadassah is the myrtle plant. That's the plant we use in the lulav, one of the plants. And that's a medium height plant. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Amar, Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says, Esther, Yurak Rekis Ha'iso. Esther was, her complexion was that of a pale green, of an olive color. And Rashi says, what's this he coming to explain? That's why she was called Hadassah. Her name was Esther, but she was called Hadassah because she was of a pale green color, like an Hadassah. V'chut shel chesed moshu choleha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her personality an enormous amount of chesed, of charm. Now, what is this Gemara telling us? What she was called Hadassah because she wasn't tall and she wasn't short. And what is the attribute of not being tall and not being short? And why is that an attribute of Hadassah? And secondly, what does it mean she was Yarokes? She was of a pale green complexion, like the Hadassah. Therefore, she was called Hadassah. And what does he mean? Chut shel chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her an exceeding amount of chesed. Now Rashi says that the chesed was in order that she should be beautiful to everyone, because evidently because she had this complexion, this took away from her beauty, so she wasn't so beautiful. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give her an extra amount of charm. But what does all of this mean? Also, to say that she wasn't so beautiful, that's difficult. Because firstly, it states in the Megillah, Vayafkir HaMelech Pekidim Bechol Medinais Malchusa. The administrators, the ministers of the king went and they sent out people to all of the Medinas of the kingship, which means the entire world, 127 Medinas, to look for the most beautiful women in the world, and they gathered them all to Shushan, and there from all of them Esther was chosen. So we cannot say that there was something wrong with her beauty. And at the same time, the Gemara tells us on Daf Tesvov, the Gemara says Dalid Noshim Yefifus Hoyba Elo. There were four most beautiful women in the history of the world. Four stood out. And who were these four? So the Gemara says Sora, Rochav. Rochav was the one in Eretz Canaan when Klal Yisrael invaded Eretz Yisrael under Yeshua. Eventually she was to be Megayer and she was to marry Yeshua. Abigail. Abigail was eventually to become the queen from David HaMelech. And Esther. So it counts Esther in one of the most four beautiful women of the history of the world. Now it's true that the Gemara says there that Ulaman Dioma Esti Yarak Roki Soyso Mapik Esther Mayel Vashti. According to the opinion of the one that says that Esther had a pale olive green complexion, so we cannot count Esther amongst them. Therefore, we'll have to take Esther out and put in Vashti. Vashti was the queen of Ahasuerus before. But we cannot say that one held her from the most four beautiful women of history and the other holds that she wasn't beautiful at all. We must say that because she had this complexion, all right, so she couldn't be rated at the top four of the world, of world history. But still, we cannot say that she was not from this type of beauty. The Maral explains as follows. The Hadassah, this plant, has a particular attribute. And that is that of a Beinus, of a Mamutza. Where it's not an extreme in any way. It's le'orich le'kotzi, like the Gemara says. It's not a tall plant. It's not a short plant. And the Hadassah is, later on the Gemara will bring, referred to as the tzaddikim. States that the tzaddikim, the righteous, are called al shem Hadassah. A tzaddik, which is the word tzedek, means yosher, perfect, upright. not to the right or not to the left. And this is the comparison between the Hadassah and the Tzaddik. It's not too tall, it's not too short. It's of perfect dimension. And this is what the Chazal tell us and the Rambam brings when it comes to spiritual perfection, that a person should always be the emtza, in the middle. Leili yamin v'leili shmol. He should stay away from extremities. He should not go to the right, he should not go to the left. The Rambam says, Zuhi nikro derech Hashem. This is called the way of Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshur. He doesn't go to the right or to the left. So this refers to something or somewhat which is a perfect perfection, perfect dimension, not to the right and not to the left. Here, in regards to Esther, when she is being compared to the Hadassah, we're not speaking of the spiritual qualities of the Hadassah, but we're speaking of the physical qualities. As it states that Esther was not too tall and she was not too short. And what was the reason for this? Because she was going to have to become a queen of the entire world. To be a king or a queen, your nation has to be able to identify with you, and you have to be able to identify with them. So how can someone be a queen of an entire world? There's so many different nations in the world. Here there was 127 Medinas. And each nation is different, one from the other. So in order to have that ability, where she can identify with all of the peoples of the world, and they can identify with her, she had to be mamutza. She had to be of perfect dimension, not to the right, not to the left, not too tall, and not too short, like a Hadassah. And this is the reason why the Gemara says she was Yarakrokes. She was of a pale green complexion, also like a Hadassah, because in the color scheme, the most medium color is that of green. You have your extremities of black, of white. The middle color is green. And she had to be someone where she would be able to be a queen, a malko, al kol ha'olam, of the entire world. The fact is, the Gemara really says this a little further. The Gemara brings, Vati Esther noses chein be'enei kol re'eho, that after Achashverosh chose her, it states that she found chein v'chesed in the eyes of Achashverosh. But then the Megillah tells us, Vati Esther noses chein be'enei kol re'eho, she found special grace in the eyes of kol re'eho, of everyone who saw her. Omer Blazer, Malamech Lakol Echod Be Echod Nid Melek Umosa. So the Chazal have a kasha. How is it possible that she can find grace in the eyes of everyone that saw her? Because everyone has a different taste. And not only everyone has a different taste, but we're dealing with all of the nations of the world. And all of the nations of the world are different. And when they come to beauty, they look inward. To them, beauty is something which they are accustomed to. Rogel. So how is it possible that Esther found special grace in the eyes of all who saw her? So the Blazer says, Malamed shelakol echod ve'echod nid meleki umosoi. From here we learn that everyone that saw her, he was able to identify with her as one from his own nation. And this is what the Gemara means when it states that her name was Esther, but she was called Hadassah because she was not tall, she was not short, and Yerak Rekes, and she was of a olive complexion. So therefore she was able to identify with all of the nations of the world. And this is what the Gemara follows up by saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a chut shel chesed, a special grace and a special charm, in order that all nations of the world could uphold her as their queen. This was the ability to become a queen in the world. And that's why when the Gemara later on speaks of the four most beautiful women in the world, of which according to one opinion she was, according to the opinion that she was Yerakarekos, this took a dimension, a degree of her beauty away. So that's why the Gemara says, according to that opinion, we'll have to count Vashti amongst the four, not her. But not that Cholila, this meant that she wasn't beautiful, because she would have never been able to score here if she wasn't. Actually, this same principle, the Maral writes on the Melech HaMashiach, that when the Melech HaMashiach, the Meir of Yameinu, becomes again king, this is the seed of David, the Torah tells us that he will be not just the king of Klal Yisrael, he will be the king of the world. It states on him, Naru Elov Kol Amim, all of the nations of the world will come up to him. Or it states, Shai LaMelech, all of the nations of the world will come to pay tribute to him. He will have to have the unique ability where all of the nations of the world will be able to identify with him. Not where someone says, well, this is the king of that land, but he's not my king. So this was the ability Esther had in order to fulfill this role. There's another source for Esther's nobility, Esther's royalty, and that was that the Chazal tell us that she and Mordechai were from Shevet Binyamin, the tribe of Binyamin, and she was from the family of Shaul HaMelech, who King Saul, who was the first king in Israel. But this is not sufficient, because what Rabbi Kiva is looking for is where she had the ability, not merely of royalty, but of world royalty. See, to be a queen for the entire world. This we do not find in Shaul. Shaul, King Saul, was a king of Israel, but not a king of the entire world. And therefore he had to go to Sora Imenu, where she also was Sora Stam Sora Lakol, a queen of the entire world. So that's one of the unique attributes that we find in Esther, Esther Amalka. Another attribute that we find in Esther, which we've already mentioned to a great deal, and that was her great beauty, like we've cited sources on. This also, we say, could be possible, that she perhaps inherited from Sora Imenu, from Sora, because Sora also had this exceedingly great beauty. Like we see, she was from the four most beautiful women of history, the Gemara says. And then also, it was recited before that her name was Yisko, Sora's name. According to one opinion in the Medrash, Yisko Shahakol Sechi Gilofio. The word Yisko comes from Socher, means to look. People used to look at her because her beauty was so stunning. And we also find that wherever Avraham went, he had to conceal her because of this reason. But actually we can say that this is part of Malchus. This is part of royalty. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Melochim, Perek Beis Halacha Hei, and the source for this is a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, where the Rambam writes, HaMelech Mishtapeh B'chol Yem. The halacha is that the king of Israel, he has to cut his hair, trim his beard, every day. B'chol yom, every day. U'masaken atzmoi, u'misno'e b'malmushov, no'im u'mefo'orim. And the halacha is, the law is, where he has to attire himself and ornament himself, beautify himself with beautiful clothing and very royally beautiful and praiseworthy clothing. As it states, this is the Gemara in Yeshayahu, Lamed Gimel Yud Zayin, Melech B'Yofyoi Techezena Einecha. That you shall see with your eyes the king in his beauty. V'yeshev al kisei malchusei b'paltere, and he sits on his throne in the palace, u'meisin kesev reishei, and he places a crown on his head. So we see that beauty is, it's true, it's an isolated attribute, but also it's part and parcel with royalty. This is a halacha. This is a law in royalty. That melech b'yofyei techezena einecha, that you shall see the king in his beauty. And therefore there were halachas, there were laws requiring the king to always be well groomed royally and to beautify himself royally. So it could be that the fact that we find both Sora and Esther amongst the most beautiful in the history of the world, it was not a coincidence that these two also had the ability to become queens over the entire world. Another attribute that we find in Esther is we find that she was Zeicher, she merited Ruach HaKodesh and Nebuah. She merited prophecy. The Gemara says about Yudalit. Tone Rabbonon Arboim Ushmein Nevim. There were 48 prophets, Sheva Nevias, and 7 prophetesses. The Gemara later on says there are actually more prophets than this. Could be more prophetesses, but we're speaking of nevuos shehutzrach lehem ledeivos, prophecies that we needed for generations, the prophecies which were written in Makisvei HaKodesh and so forth. So of these there were 48 nevim prophets and 7 prophetesses nishnabalem liyisrael, who prophesied for Israel. And when the Gemara lists who were the 7 women prophetesses, so the Gemara lists amongst them is Esther. Gemara says, how do we know? Because it states in the Megillas Esther, in Perkei, that before Esther was going to Ahasuerus to plead for the life of her nation, so she fasted. And she commanded all of her ladies-in-waiting also to fast for 3 days and 3 nights. And it states, Vayi bayem ashlishi vatilbash Esther Malchus. And it was on the 3rd day after all of the fasting and the mispalalim, the praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Esther robed herself, vatilbash Esther Malchus, in kingship. So the Gemara says, "Big day Malchus Mevayle." It should say she robed herself in the garments of Malchus, in the garments of royalty. What does it mean by Tilbash Malchus, that she robed herself, she attired herself in royalty? It should be she attired herself in the garments of royalty. Ela shalof sharuach hakodesh. She attired herself in Malchus, in royalty, and the royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended upon her. And she attired herself in Ruach HaKodesh. And this was the Nevuah. This was the level of prophecy that she came to. We could possibly say that this level of prophecy that we find by Esther, this also came from Sara Imenu. Because Sara is also listed amongst the seven prophetesses. Fact is, it's interesting to note that of the seven prophetesses, Sara is the first and Esther's the last. See, the Gemara brings who were the seven? The Gemara says, one second if I can find it here. Sheva Nevi'ah Isman Ninhu, Sora, Miriam, Devora, Chana, Abigail, Hulda, and Esther. So Sora was the first and Esther was the last. Actually, the reason why we do not find any after Esther is because Purim took place right at the end of the era of prophecy. See, with the falling of the first Beis Hamikdash and then Golos, that was the last year of prophecy. Already by the second Beis Hamikdash, we did not have that. So, we find it by Sora also. The Gemara says, where do we find, how do we know that Sora was a prophetess? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yisko Zu Sora. Because, Veloma Nikro Shmo Yisko, Shesoch Seberuach HaKodesh. That Yisko, which we mentioned, which was also Sora's name, there's another interpretation why she was called Yisko. From the word to see, because she was able to see Beruach HaKodesh, she was able to see it with the Spirit of Hashem. She could see things others couldn't. Where do we see that, for example? So the Gemara brings from Parshas Vayera that after she had gave birth to Yitzchok, and meanwhile Yishmael was already here, and she didn't like the bad influence that Yishmael was having on Yitzchok. So she told Abraham to Gorash Esa Oma Vesbano, drive away Hogar and Yishmael from here. Ki la yirashim benim Yitzchok, he will not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. And to Abraham, this was very, very harsh and very difficult because, after all, Hogar had become his wife and Yishmael was his son. And Abraham didn't want to do it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol ma shetema loch sorish ma bekolo, that whatever Sora tells you, listen to her. And from here we learn that she was sochs of the Ruach HaKodesh. She could see with Ruach HaKodesh what others couldn't see. And not only, and from here the Gemara brings that Sora was a prophetess. And not only was she able to see what others couldn't see, but Rashi brings she was able to see what Abraham couldn't see. Even though Abraham himself was a Novi. Ki Novi Hashem Hu. So Rashi says that Mikan, from here we learn that Abraham was a tofel, the Nevi'ah Abraham was a tofel of Sora. That when it came to prophecy, Sora was far greater than Abraham. So perhaps this prophecy Esther inherited also from Sora. The Gemara writes that from all of the 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that prophesied for Israel, lepochshu v'lahisiru al mashe kosa b'torah, never did anyone of them add or subtract from anything which is written in the Torah, except Esther, chutz mimikra megillah. Esther was the only one. So we see that Esther achieved something with her prophecy that no one did. No one would ever add to the Torah, or certainly not take away from the Torah, except Esther. What did she do? Esther went to Mordechai and told Mordechai what she wants to do. And Mordechai went to the Sanhedrin and they agreed that they should make a new mitzvah. Beyond the 613 mitzvahs that we have in the Torah, they should make a new mitzvah. And what mitzvah should that be? Mikra Megillah. That every year, Klal Yisrael must read over the Megillah Esther at night and during the day. And the Gemara says, and by what authority could she? Eina novi reshai lechadesh. prophet is not allowed to add to the Torah? So what was her authority to do so? And by what authority did the Sanhedrin listen to her? My daughter, Shomer Bchia Barabi, Nomer Rabbi Shua Ben Korchu, no. They found a good source, a good authority. Umame Abdus Lcherus Amrin and Shira Mimisa Lachaim Lekolshkein. That we find that Klal Yisrael said Shira. They sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they went out of Egypt. And that was Me'abdus L'cherus. There was no threat of death. There was from slavery to freedom. Here where there was threat of death over the entire nation, Mimisa L'chaim, how much more so are we obligated to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the song that we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim is the Mikra Megillah, the reading of the Megillah. So this was their source. So besides the fact that she was from these seven Nevi'ah's prophetesses, she was unique that she was the only one that added a mitzvah to the Torah. Then we find another attribute in her. The Gemara we referred to before, and this is on Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara says, Esther hi Adasa. This was Esther, and her name was Adasa. So the Gemara is saying, what was her name? Was it Esther? Was it Adasa? Tanya Remeya Aimer Esther Shma. Remeya says her name was Esther. Except she was called Adasa. Veloma Nikra Shma Adasa. But why was she called this? Al Shem HaTzadikim. Because she was a very, very great tzaddikah. She was very righteous. And the tzaddikim are nikroim hadasim. The righteous are called hadasim. V'cheinu omer, and so does it state in Zechariah Aleph Posuk Ches, v'hu eimed bein hadasim asher b'metzula. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands between the hadasim who are near the metzula. The hadasim refer to the tzaddikim. Kodesh Baruch Hu finds his place amongst the tzaddikim, the hadasim, by the metzula. The metzula is the emek, the depths. The hadasim grow near the depths. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu stands with the tzaddikim. So we see the hadasim are called tzaddikim. What does this have to do with Esther? So Rashi brings, because the golus which Klal Yisrael was in, that was Esther, was like by the metzula, by the depths. The Maral adds to this. This is actually metzula, is a word which is also used for the Gehenna. Depths, empty abyss. And he says this is something in particular with Esther. Very much in particular with Esther. Because we find something with Esther which is almost unparalleled in history. And that is where did the great righteousness of Esther have to develop? Where did she come to Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, prophecy? This was not only during the Golus, but this was in the house of Ahasuerus. And where do we find such a thing? You know, people always say, well, if I lived in Brooklyn, Flatbush and Borough Park, I could be a great tzaddik. Or if I lived in Yerushalayim, or Me'ah Shorim, or Geula, I could be a great tzaddik. But how can one be a tzaddik in Nesan Benoni? This is what people think. Where did the righteousness of Esther come? In the house of Ahasuerus. Where did she come to Ruach HaKodesh? She didn't say, if I would be in Yerushalayim, then I would be, I could keep the Torah. But here, impossible. House of Achashverosh, a captive to that Ish Tomei and Ish Ra, that she herself first called the Kelevra, to that dog. And then she said, no, I can't call him a dog, because Baruch Hu gave him this all-powerful monarchy. And so evil he was that he conspired with Haman to destroy and annihilate all of Israel, B'yom Echor, in one day. And she had to serve as his wife and queen. There she rose to her greatness and to her prophecy and to her Ruach HaKodesh. That's what it means, Hadasim Asher B'Matzula. The Hadassah grows right near the rocky valleys. The Tzaddik can grow even when he's standing right next to Gehenna. She became great in her righteousness when she was standing in Gehenna. And we said this is almost unparalleled in history, but there was a precedent to it. This was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef did the same thing. Where did Yosef become the Tzadik? In the house of Pare. In the house of a Melech Tomei and a Melech Ra, an evil king, with all of the abominations of Egypt. And that's why he was known as Yosef Tzidkayo. And when he was reunited with Yaakov Avinu, after all of those years they were apart, Yaakov said, this is the same son, same Yosef HaTzadik that was by me. He hasn't deteriorated at all. And not only he hadn't deteriorated, he brought up children there. We always say, possible to bring up children in such a place. He brought up children in the house of Pare. And when Yaakov saw them, he said, Ephraim and Manasseh, no, they're not your children. They're Keruven v'Shimon, Yuli. They're the same as my children. They became Shvatim yet. He brought up in the house of Pare in Egypt Shvatim from the 12 tribes. And Tzadik, this is what the explanation of tzaddik is, the Maral says, because what is tzaddik? The word tzaddik comes from tzedek. Tzedek means yoshor, straight, not to the right and not to the left. When we try to find something that's straight or crooked, this is something which is absolute. This is not something which is of a comparative science. We cannot say that taking in the entire surroundings and the terrain, this is straight. This is something of absolute. The tzaddik, the word tzaddik means something which is strong and straight and unbending. Does not become influenced by the influences around him to bend to the right or to the left. And this was Yosef. And all of the influences in the world, to move him to the right or to the left, he remained straight. And this was Esther. All of the influences in the world, to move him to the right or to the left, to move her to the right or the left, she was unbending. Not only she was unbending, she came to new heights then, to the heights of Ruach HaKodesh, Vatil Bash Esther Malchus. And this is why she's Demela Hadassah. But the Hadassah is not influenced when it grows right near the Emek, the rocky dips. The Gemara carries on. And the Gemara says that there's another reason. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Hadassah Shema. Her name was Hadassah. He says just the opposite. Her real name was Hadassah. But why was she called Esther? Shoisa Masteres Dvoreho. Because she concealed herself. The Ein Esther Bageres is Amaves Malarto. Mordechai instructed her, do not reveal where you're from. Do not say that you're Yehudi. Do not say where you come from, because he was afraid Ahasuerus would find out that she's royalty from the house of Shaul, and he would keep her, because these kings only married from the greatest of royalty. And this way, if he didn't know who she was, he would think, how do I know who she is? And eventually he would send her away. So therefore, he kept telling Esther, do not say who you are. And Esther, therefore, didn't do this. But this was something not easy. The Gemara brings in the Megillas Esther, it states a number of psukim that do not seem to have any continuity. It says, this is in Beis, from Pasuk Yud Zayin An. It says that the king loved Esther from all of the women, and he put the crown on her, and he made her queen instead of Vashti. And he made a great party for all of his nobility. He called it the party of Esther, and he gave a tax relief to all of the states, and he sent gifts to all of the states. And then he gathered maidens a second time, and Mordechai is sitting in the gates of the king, and Esther will not say what family she's from or what nation she's from, because Mordechai instructed her to do so. Now, what does all this have to do? He made a party, he gathered maidens again, he gave off taxes, see? He sent gifts. What's all this have to do? So the Gemara brings brings on Yud Gimel that the Gemara says Vayas HaMelech Mishte Godel Ovid Mishtaye VeLegalyot. Achashverosh wanted to know where she came from. Who is she? And she wouldn't say. So he tried to entice her to say. So he made a great party in her honor. Yasa Melech Mishte Godel. Legalio, she wouldn't say. Dolly Kargo. In her honor, he sent through the world that he will relieve taxes. Perhaps this will entice her. Legalio, she wouldn't say. Shodar Padishinoi. In her honor he went and he sent great gifts, Kiyad HaMelech, to the nobility in her legalio. She would still not say. Now, you take a young girl and she becomes a queen to the wealthiest man in the world, and he's throwing all of these riches at her. to get her merely to say, where does she come from? But she won't tell. Not only that, but firstly, imagine what he would give her if she would tell. So there was this tremendous enticement. And maybe he would become angry if she didn't tell. There was a danger. She wouldn't say. Mordechai said she shouldn't say. Then it states, Bikovitz Besule Sheni, she went and he gathered in maidens a second time. Now what was this for? Also chocolates me Mordechai. Mordechai was known to Achashverosh, but he didn't know the relation between Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai was known as from the members of the Sanhedrin, he was from the Chachomim, from the very wise. So Achashverosh says, let me go to the Jew, he'll give me a good etza, how to get this information out of her. So Mordechai said, he says, a woman, she becomes very, very jealous of other women. Threaten her. Threaten her by making another beauty contest unless she tells you who she's from. And when you bring in more beautiful maidens and she'll see that you're bringing in other beautiful women, then she'll tell you. Mordechai meanwhile had his own plan and maybe fall in love with another woman and send Esther back home. So that's what it means when it states, Ubikovitz Besule Shenis, he went and he made a second beauty contest. And oh, afilo hochi legalio. And then it says, states, Ein Esther Mageres Malarito. Esther still wouldn't say who she is and where she's from. And to the contrary, once he were to find out she's royalty, then he would really treat her royally. He would really treat her royally. The fact is, from the Gemara, it seems later on, and from the Megillah, that he never would even speak to her directly because he didn't know where she was from. So we see that she had this power, and that's why she was called Esther, to conceal. And the Gemara brings that this she inherited from Rachel. She was from the children of Rachel, from Binyamin. Binyamin was the son of Rachel. And she inherited this from Rachel, this power of Hester, of Tznius. Because Rachel went and she concealed the boshes, the shame of her sister Leah, when Lavan switched her sister for her at the time of the marriage to Yaakov. And this also was, the Gemara explains, by Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, before he became king. Shmuel went and told him. He came to find out where his donkeys were. He went to look for his father's lost donkeys. And Shmuel said, well, he'll find the donkeys. But more importantly, he told him, you're going to become king of Israel. And when he went back to his father, Dvar HaMalchus Lehigid, he told him about the donkeys, but he wouldn't tell him what Shmuel said about that he would become king. Because he also was a person of tznius, of great concealment. He wasn't that open. And so the Gemara says, that's why she was called Esther. She was Master Dvoreha. She would conceal herself. Now the Maral brings that really that and the level of her tzaddikus, of her righteousness, that's one level. Because it shows that she had an inner level to her, a higher level, which was concealed in her. Not merely the superficial level, the exterior, what you see in a person. And it could be this is why she couldn't be influenced. Because influence works greater on an external level than an internal level. We are influenced by what we see. What do we and what we hear? What do we see and what we hear? That's at an external level. And there are those, he says, madregos pechusim, who are shallow levels. And therefore, they are shaken by what they see and by what they hear and by everything around them. And that's the opposite of the tzaddik, who is chozok, strong and unbending, and he remains yoshur. But those who have far deeper levels, and a madrega panimius, an inner level, which is concealed from the outside, that already shows on a high spiritual level. The neshama, the soul, is concealed. That cannot be influenced so easily by external trappings, which you see all over. And therefore the tzaddik remains uninfluenced. And this was Esther. So this level where she was Esther, she would be masteres es dvareho, she concealed what should be concealed. This was part and parcel of Esther HaTzadekes, of a righteousness. The fact is, he says, this also is found in the Hadassah plant. The Gemara says, in Sukkah, the Gemara says, one of the signs of the Hadassah plant, when we're looking for the Hadassah, for the Lulav and Esrog, is where the Alim are Mechasin Esrev Eitzov, that the leaves cover the wood of the plant. And that was the symbol that it was a concealed plant, that it had this power of tznius. Then it goes on further to say that this is why she and Mordechai were able to overcome Homa, who was from Amalek, because these two levels were really the two levels between Yaakov and Esav. Haman, Amalek, Amalek is Zera, Esav is the seed of Esav. Because Esav was external. Yaakov was the pnimi. He was the inner level. First we see that Esav was born first. That's the external. Yaakov was born last. Secondly, we see that it states that Esav was Isoda. He was a man of the field. Yaakov was Yeshiva Olim. He dwelled in the concealment of the tents of Torah. And then it states the power of Yaakov was the kol, was his voice. The voice brings out the madrega hapnimius. It brings out the inner levels. The power of Esav was Yodayim. Yodayim Yodei Esav, Hakol Kol Yaakov, were the hands. The hands are the external part of the person. The fact is, there's nothing more external than the hands, because the hands reach out and touch everything. This is why there's a Gemara that says, Yodayim Askin Yasein. And we see this also by Amalek. Amalek was known as the brazen one. Brazen arrogance, the chutzpah, which is the power of being external. Where do we see that? Because the Chazal say, no nation in the world ever started up, no nation in the world was not afraid to start up with Israel when they came out of Mitzrayim, and no nation in the world would have ever started up with them, if not for Amalek. And it brings an example. If you have a big pool of hot water, nobody will jump into. And this Mechutzev comes, this arrogant one comes, and he jumps in. This cools it off for others. So this was the Madrega of Amalek. And this was hand in hand with Esav. The Gemara brings that the simon of Esav, a sign of Esav, is that of the chazir. The chazir is the animal which wants to show his external trappistries. Because the Gemara says, the chazir is a treif animal. There can't be anything more treif than the chazir, that's from the pig. He has every animal needed two kosher signs. A concealed kosher sign, and an external kosher sign. The hands, the paws had to be split. That was external kosher sign. And an internal kosher sign, where they would regurgitate what they ate and redigest it. The chazir, the pig, he lacks the internal kosher sign. Because internally, he's totally tomei. But he has the external kosher sign. He has split hoofs. And when he sits, he puts his hoofs out. Ru'u! He wants to show the world. Ru'u, see, ani kosher. That I'm kosher. I'm tohor. And this, the Gemara says, is the Siman of Eshuv. There were some nations in the world that were Rishoyim, and it didn't bother them the least if the people thought they were Rishoyim. But Esav always gave out the guise that he was a tzaddik. And how did he do that? By showing external guises that he is tohor. But meanwhile, he was as tohor as can be. And then the Gemara brings in Aveda Zora another simon of Esau's nation. The greatest nation that will come from Esau is the Roman Empire. It states Yotzotivu Bechola Elam, that their publicity of that nation will be known throughout the whole world. If you notice, if you study Roman history, they wanted a name throughout the whole world. The Romans. And Western culture, which was built by the Roman history, it's not so important what you are, it's more important what people think you are. It's not so important the product you make, it's more important how you advertise it. The fact is, one American businessman once told me, he says, you can sell anything if it's packaged properly. This was Ace of Yotzativa Bechol Eilam, the opposite of Yaakov. Yaakov, who was Ishtam, Yosheva Olim. Now, Esther came from Binyamin, and Binyamin came from Rachel. Rachel was the youngest of the sisters, the last to be born. Binyamin was the last of the Shvatim. By him, there was this power of Tznius very great. And we said Shaul came from him. And this was Esther. Esther and Mordechai. And there's a chazal, the Maral brings a posuk in Yirmiyahu Memtes Chof, Yaschovim Tzi'irei Hatzon, that Esav, his nation, will be dragged out from their power and from their land by the youngest of the sheep. And the Targum Yenison says, what does it mean, the youngest of the sheep? Zutrei da achoi, the youngest of the brothers of the sons of Yaakov. She'ein Esav neifel rak biyad shevet binyamin shu hatzoir. That Esav will eventually fall by Binyamin. So this was the power. Here we saw Esav fell. Haman was the head of Amalek. And here we saw him fall, and this was through the power of Esther together with Mordechai. This was the Keach HaNister over the Keach HaGoloi, the power of the Tznius, of the concealment over that power of what was external. So therefore, the Gemara brings, we could say, Esther Shma, and she was called Hadassah al Shema Tzadikim because of the righteous. Yoshur, or we could say Hadassah Shma, her name was Hadassah, and she was called Esther Shemasteres es Devareha, that she concealed, she would conceal Esther from the word Seser, to conceal herself. These are some of the attributes, the milas that we find in Esther Amalka, who together with Mordechai brought this great miracle.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg South Africa.